Okay, we're starting Simpi Aleph. Simpi Aleph is about Yotzim Natami, things that come out of kosher and non-kosher animals. Let's learn the din first, and then we're really going to do background today. That's today's goal. Okay, the halacha says, Cholav behema v'chayet tmeya a trefa. If you have the milk from an animal which is either a treif animal, like a horse, or a trefa, means it was a kosher min, but it was a trefa. So the chol from behemoths and chayas that are treif or that are treif, vitzira. We'll talk about what tzira means in a second. It's certain kinds of liquids that are exuded from the animal. Meraglah, and it's urine. Asun kibsara, they are all asur, because of this rule that things that come out of a treif animal are treif. V'yesh mishamata meraglah, but there are those who are matir meraglayim. And Mr. Shem, next time we'll talk about what's this machlokes, whether meraglayim is mutar asur, and what is an afkamita. It's actually, you wouldn't believe it. No, it actually there's going to be a nafkamina. We have a nafkamina who we'll talk about the mission him next time. So this is my focus. Of a meraglaim de adam, divrei kamutter. The meraglaim of a human are for sure mutter. Even though he mentioned the humans, we're going to wait till halacha zayin to talk about things that come from humans. That's where a whole bunch of those other halachas are. We'll wait for that for halacha zayin. Okay, so
today. Is eating?
What did you say?
Tell me we're eating things like
this. This is for eating. Yeah, this whole sim is about eating things, different things. Okay, you're right. The shock talks about what is it should be about the shock to eat human urine. Okay, that's not our. We're talking about whether the cultural trait
they
per se.
They have protein placentas, so they don't.
Exactly. That's halacha zayin.
Urine therapy.
So you're the really? Okay, halacha zayin. All that halacha zayin. Okay. Okay. So the
Eskimos drink urine or something.
I didn't know that. Okay. What?
Moises
Abu Yusuf put on his hands. Who used to? Moises Abu Yusuf. Okay. Okay. So before we start, I have to just tell you give you the instructions to what we're talking about. The din of Meraglayim is going to be dependent on this, and a lot of the din are going to depend. We know the rule is that things that come out of a treif animal are treif. That's what we're going to talk about. But there's an exception to that rule, and that exception is something that's pirusha. Okay, something that's usually used as waste product that coming out of an animal, and that's a very big exception. It has to do with halacha aleph, but we're really going to wait till I think halacha dalet to talk about that. Okay, it's a big exception whether something qualifies as pirusha. Mm-hmm. It's just like an excrement. It's just something that's like totally not usable coming out of the animal. That's a big kula. Okay, so
is it not usable or just because of the
keva? Halacha dalet. We'll talk about halacha dalet. Okay, so the thing is like this. So the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, "Kol yitzim le'tami tami." It's a Mishnah b'chayrus on Hamid Beis. Kol yitzim le'tami tami, b'chol yitzim le'tar is tar. Okay, whatever comes out of a treif animal is treif. Whatever comes out of a kosher animal is kosher. The Gemara says that rule really is not really such a rule. The Gemara says the reason the Mishnah said the rule is just because there was a confusing case in the Mishnah about a treif animal that gave birth to something that looked kosher and a kosher animal that gave birth to something that looked treif. And the din is very confusing. You have to remember which one is kosher and which one is treif. That din is actually not in our siman. So to help you remember it, they made this mnemonic that call yertzim le'tamei tamei, we call yertzim le'tar tar. It's not really a rule. Okay? It's a mnemonic to help you understand. Remember that din, that this complicated din about a kosher animal gave birth to something treif, and a treif animal gave birth to kosher. Okay. So we're going to talk about a couple of makaris that are brought to where these din come from, that animals are, yertze is kosher or treif. Okay? And the first is, the simplest is, the Gemara says in Bukharis that if you have the Gemara has a question, how honey develops, honey's going to be at the very end of the simon, how the bee turns nectar into honey, the Gemara says there's a possibility that the nectar passes through the bee without becoming part of the bee, and when it leaves the bee, then it's kosher. It came in and it left, it was a plant, it left as a plant, then it's kosher. And obviously it looks different, we'll talk about it at the end of the simon. But it stays kosher. That's the simplest case. It has nothing to do with the animal. It's just something that just passed through. Okay? And we'll see that it has to do with meraglayim. So just maybe it passes through and it's not kosher. But the Gemara says, but if it would not pass through, if the animal does something to it, it sort of ingests it and does something to it, then we need a pasuk. So the Gemara says, a little bit back, we have a pasuk that tells us, a special pasuk to tell us that the milk from a camel, and who went in every other treif animal, the milk from a camel is treif. Either we learn from it because it says gomel twice, or it says es ha-gomel, it says with a hay. So one or the other, we make a drasha that the milk coming out of a camel is just representative of treif animals, coming out of a camel is treif. Fred the Gemara, wait a second, why do we need a pasuk that milk from a camel is treif? We don't need a pasuk for that. We have a pasuk already that tells us that tzir from bugs are usher. That ela hatamei lachem. The hay teaches us that tzir from bugs is usher. That's the Gemara's kasha. Okay, so now we have to just stop for a second and think, just what is we're talking about? What is tzir? Okay.
What is this
Gemara again? It's in Bukharis. It's the whole simon is in. That's where it is. That's our whole simon really is over there. It's based on there. The Gemara says that tzir, we learn from a pasuk that the tzir of an insect is usher. Okay, and the word tzir, I'm still not going to have a good answer, but it's not clear to me what is this tzir. Okay, so Rashi uses the word that it's shuman, which sounds like fat, but the other way, everybody else is explaining, it doesn't sound like it's fat per se. Okay, for example, that drasha that says we learn tzir from this pasuk is to teach us, the Gemara says it teaches tzir, roitav, and kipon. Tzir and roitav and kipon. Okay, Tosfos says, we don't need a pasuk to tell us that roitav and kipon are usher. Because the roitav, the gravy that comes out of it, and the tzir is like little pieces that flake off while you're cooking. He says, we don't need psukim to tell us that. That's obvious. It's part of tam kikr. It's the whole tam from the food. Of course, that's usher. So that tells me that tzir is something on a lower level than that. It's not really a piece of the treif, of the bug that it came from. And in fact, Tosfos says also over there, this is a lot going on in Chulin. Tosfos says also that really in Svara, tzir would have been mutter because we would say it's zeyav alma. Okay, zeyav alma means it's just like a sweat, like just like a byproduct that has nothing to do with the original. Okay, the Gemara talks about tear of vegetables. Okay, vegetables don't have fat coming out of it. It means it's just some kind of a liquid that exudes from it, but it's really very unrelated to the thing that it came from.
What does it mean? Why do you say it's very unrelated? What does that mean?
Unrelated means to say it doesn't have the time of the food. It doesn't have the pieces of the food. It's when we look at it. Let me say one more thing. You'll understand what I'm saying. The Gemara says the same lushan of zeyav alma. That's where it's coming from. In brachas for the brachas on fruit juices. Apple juice, he says, it's only zeyav alma. You don't make a ha'etz on apple juice because it's zeyav alma. Now, of course, apple juice tastes like apples. It has a connection. Obviously, you squeeze the apple, out comes the juice. So it has a connection to it. But it's like so far removed from the original that somehow it doesn't have the status of the original. That's what it means. So the tear comes from the bug, but it's not enough of the bug to be like the roitav of the bug. So he says, that's partial, that's also. But this is like a low level. I can't tell you, you don't have a clear definition of saying this is what the tier is, but it sounds on a really low level. It's like very far removed from the food.
Very innocuous.
Okay, that makes you feel better. Okay, so I'm not sure exactly, but at the same time, the Gemara Chulin also says the Gemara has 10 drushes, a whole bunch of drushes that tell us that different things that come out of animals are usher, and the implication there is that really. The chiddush is that a liquid, when we take an issa and we liquefy it, that it still remains usher. The Gemara has a whole bunch of drushes about this, but the tzrichas is why we need so many of them, that when we liquefy something, it's not in its original solid state. We liquefy that, that's also usher. Okay, so all this is telling us that the roitav is not, it's not exactly the issa. It's some kind of an extraction from the issa, and that extraction is usher anyhow. That's what the pasuk seems to be. That's what we need the pasuk that's usher.
Okay. You're saying you would really need the pasuk if you grind up bugs and make it.
So if you actually ground up the whole thing and ate it all, I don't think you need a pasuk for that. Okay. The Gemara says if you liquefy it, the Gemara says you need a pasuk for it. If you eat it in a liquid form.
What does the Gemara say? How does the Gemara call liquefy it?
I forgot the words. Well, it's kuf chaf. It's a kuf chaf.
You need a pasuk if you liquefy it?
Yeah. We need pasukim. And kipon is like these little pieces that are floating around the pot. Okay, they're like little pieces. It's also shining places, if that's what it really means.
What is that?
Like little pieces.
Shell of it, or what is that?
Just like a
sheds,
like, yeah, pieces that are being shed off. Okay, so what we're getting is that the tzir is these pieces, this is something that's an extraction from the iser. And what the Gemara, back to where we were. The Gemara's question is, if tzir is usher, tzir, which is so removed from the iser, it's like a step down from the iser, it's like the zeyav alma, then kol shekein, the milk is going to be usher. Okay, the milk is also very unrelated to the cow. I mean, you look at a cow and you look at the milk. It's not a cow at all. I mean, it doesn't taste like it. It has nothing to do with a cow. But if tzir could be usher, then surely milk is usher. Okay?
We have tzir by dogim. That's a different type of...
Very good question. Tzir by dogim is...
I mean, it's
That's for next time. You're right. There's no drasha.
So tzir by dogim,
what do we think tzir by dogim is? When you soak fish in salt, the juice that comes out of that is called tzir.
That's the tzir that's a common fish.
So it does. Does apple juice have the palm of the apples? It does. So, but it's not the full thing. It's not like the actual squeezing the fish or taking the fat out of the fish. It's a little lower level. Okay, so back to where we were. The Gemara's kasha was that, why do we need a pasuk to tell you that you can't eat milk from a gummel? Okay. From a gummel, when we already have a limud that hatnayim, that tzir of insects is also, and we have a pasuk also for animals, that tzir from animals also. So the Gemara says that's because really, it should have been that chalav from a kosher animal should also be treif. It's the fact that the Torah told us that we could eat chalav from a kosher animal, that in itself is a chiddush. Right. That's a chiddush. One, either because it would have been, it's not Eivir Menachai, it's like Eivir Menachai, or it's because it would have been come from dam, another tzav in the Gemara that it comes from, it's a byproduct of dam, or it's a source from dam, so it's a chiddush that it should be mutter. Once the Torah told us that you're allowed to drink challah from a kosher animal, then now we need a pasuk that said you can't eat from a treif animal. Maybe when the Torah told us you could eat challah, it was telling you this thing doesn't count at all. If you could eat challah from a kosher animal, then the Torah is telling us challah is not connected to the thing it came from. So if you can eat challah from a kosher animal, then you can eat challah from a treif animal. So it's the same thing. Challah is like not included in the sister. So Kamash Mu'an, so we know that chol is mutter, we know that chol from a gomel, now when you pass a chol from a gomel stream, the Gemara says there aren't really psukim to tell us that chol from a kosher animal is kosher. It's not like chol from a treif animal. Chol from a gomel, there's an extra pasuk. It's either gomel or hot gomel, there's an extra pasuk. For chol from a kosher animal, there isn't actually an extra pasuk. What it is there's a lot of, incidental references to challah as being kosher. Like the most famous one is the Mitzvah part. Eretz Challah Dvash. It says if you're going to this great land where there's going to be milk, obviously if there's going to be milk, they start telling you, and you're going to be able to eat it. What are they telling you? There's going to be milk. You're just going to look at it. So it's an implication that it's milk. But it's not a pasuk coming to tell you that. It's not then challah just to make it mutter. But there are all kinds of implications that challah must be kosher. One of them is a whole bunch of rayas that it must be kosher, but not like gomel where we have a limud to tell us, an extra word just to tell you that the word, okay, fine. So that's for milk. The Gemara says in Chulin, which is in Samach Dal, the Gemara says that if you want to know, how do you know that the eggs from a treif animal are treif? Okay, a treif animal lays an egg, you're not allowed to eat that egg. How do we know that? So the Gemara says, we learn it out, because it says in the Torah, it lists the 24 birds that you're not allowed to eat. There's a long list of birds that you're not allowed to eat, and each one of them has its name, and one of them has a really unusual name, and it's called the Bas Hayana. One of the birds you're not allowed to eat is called the Bas Hayana. And so the Gemara says, what's a Bas Hayana? Every Yana is a Bas Hayana. There's different ways to explain it. I'm explaining you one way. Every bird, you see, the daughter of a chicken, well, every chicken is the daughter of another chicken. Everyone is the daughter. So the Basayana, well, obviously it's the daughter of a Yana. Well, why don't you say Hayana? So Basayana is to tell you that even though it's only the Basayana, it's only the egg of the Yana, it's already also. Yana is treif, and the Basayana is also treif. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. And it teaches, you have a question?
No.
Okay, the Gemara teaches. Okay, so now.
It teaches that the Basayana came before the Yana.
That the philosopher might think that. Okay? So before we go on, I have to, the following is absolutely conjecture. Okay? What I'm about to tell you is absolute conjecture. But why does the pasuk tell us of all the birds that it picked, the Basayana to teach you this din, that eggs are treif. There's lots of treif birds. Of all the birds in the world, wasn't the first one or the last one, why did it pick the Bas? Of all the birds that you think they'd pick Basayana? Okay? So what I'm about to tell you is conjecture. And that is like this. There's, what is a Basayana? What is a Yana? In modern Hebrew, it means ostrich, and it's really a ron in Kulin. I saw in the safe, there's a person named Rabbi Przeworski, Okay? And so he wrote a sefer called Birds of the Torah. How I got that book is its own story. Not for today. But its own story. But this person has a book. And then he brings it to Ron. He brings a Ron in Chul, who says, he says, the Gemara gives different simonim in different places, describes this Basiyana. He says, and I checked it, and I know. He says, the English stop was she her ostrich. He says, it's an ostrich. It is. It's for sure an ostrich. For sure, that's, he says, it's an ostrich. Okay? So, well, let's accept that, that it's an ostrich, assuming that it is. Ostrich has a very unusual feature, which is, an ostrich's one male ostrich takes many female ostrich partners, and what they do is all of his partners lay their eggs in one main nest. It's more like a ditch really than a nest. They all lay their eggs in one place, and then the male ostrich and the what's called the major hen, I mean it's his favorite wife, okay, the major hen, him, the male and the major hen both sit on that nest, and none of the other mothers, none of the other hens sit on the nest. So, of all the birds in the turtle, of all the chafe birds, this is the bird that you have the least knowledge that it belongs to its mother. Because 10 mothers put their eggs into one basket, into one nest, they all put it into one nest, and then, when they're born, no one knows which bird belongs to which one. So if the turtle wanted, when you want to, so to speak, be meyach as a bird, the chicken is connected to its mother, the mother sat on the egg, and afterwards, we know this chicken, but the turtle, of all the birds, the ostrich is the one that's the least likely to be the one that we know the daughter. So the turtle is telling me, when I say basayana, obviously I mean something else. I don't mean the daughter. I'm here to teach you something else. I said the basa chicken, you say, oh, everybody knows what a basa chicken, but the basayana, no one knows which is the basayana, so the bas must be to tell us, it's to tell us something else. I mean, not about the door itself, it's about the eggs. Okay, that's the conjecture. Yeah, yeah, fine. Right here. So the Gemara says, we have a pasuk basayana. We have a basayana to tell us, a basayana to tell us that treif eggs are treif. Eggs from treif animals are treif. Okay, how do we know that eggs from kosher animals are treif? Kosher animals are kosher. How do you know that eggs from a chicken are kosher? Okay, so before I...
What would be the issue that I would think it's usher?
That's what I was about to ask. Why am I asking you a question? Why should it be? And like, say, why are potatoes kosher? So the Ramban says, that the reason why is exactly like the Gemara said about milk. Just like the Gemara said by milk. If the Torah... we should think that just like milk from a kosher animal shouldn't be kosher. We have a pasuk that tells you that milk from a kosher animal should not be kosher because it's sort of a Eber Menachai. It's not exactly, but it's a sort of Eber Menachai. So too, eggs from a kosher bird should be also like Eber Menachai, and it shouldn't be mutter. So we need to have a lean with the eggs from a kosher animal are kosher, or else we would think that they'd be treif. Just like by milk we did that. We needed a lean with to tell us that milk from a kosher animal is kosher.
Yeah, but isn't it a little different because milk is an Andra thing. Milk is not do that. A chicken is the egg. Egg is the chicken.
Therefore, so it's worse.
Therefore, just like the chicken's kosher, the egg is kosher. But milk is
a cow. Is it cows are kosher? But milk
has nothing to do with a cow. It happens to have milk to feed its children.
Therefore what?
Therefore, I need a lemur to tell you that it's mutter. But a chicken and an egg are synonymous. If you have an egg, it's a chicken.
Right. I'll tell you what the Ramban said later. The Ramban asked that question. The Ramban says, maybe we should say, the Ramban saying like this, I'm going to say your question in different words. This is the Ramban says.
Oh, I said chicken come before the egg.
He says, the first chicken didn't come from a mother, okay, but the second chicken, every other chicken since then came from a mother. So if eggs are treif, well then chickens would be treif also because they come from chickens. Okay. The Ramban asks that question.
It's more of a long issue.
But the Ramban says, no, that's wrong. That's not correct. Why? The Gemara actually is the question. The Gemara Temura asks, are you allowed to eat a chicken whose mother was a treifa? If the mother was a treifa, that means is this chicken came from a mother who's a treifa. Well, if the chicken came from a treifa, then the chicken is also a treifa. So the Gemara wants to know, can you eat the chicken who's the daughter of a treifa? And the Gemara says, it's fine, you're allowed to. Why? Because in the process of the egg going from being an egg into being a chick, in that process, it's masriach, it rots, it decomposes. During the time it's going from one to the other, it doesn't go straight from being egg to being chicken. It's not one day egg, tomorrow chicken. It decomposes, and since it decomposes in the middle, therefore, the chick that comes afterwards is not connected to the original mother. The egg might be, but the chick is not connected to the original mother. If the mother is usher, the chick, the egg is usher, but the next chick that comes out of that is not usher. That's what the Gemara says. We talked about this.
Was the grandchild as much?
No. If the mother lays an egg, the egg is usher. The mother is a treif and lays an egg, the egg is usher. By the time that egg turns into a chick, the chick is kosher. The chick is kosher.
It's like pleasure veneer. It's
so
a new...
We talked about it, Pesach time. We talked about it, I don't know if it was this Pesach or it was last Pesach. I think it was a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. which was, it's one of the riot, one of the makaris for the din of Nishtana. Okay? We talked about Kiddush and Nishtana. It's one of the makaris for Nishtana is that when something is Masriach and it turns into a new form, that it loses its connection to the original Israel. That's Gemara is one of the writers, one of the parts of understanding that din of Nishtana. Okay? So the Rambam says, so the fact that chickens are kosher doesn't mean that the eggs that they came from have to be kosher. Eggs can be treif and chickens can be kosher.
Can I ask one other question then?
Sure.
So by a cow gives milk, let's say it's a treifa. We have a special limud to tell you that milk is mutter, not because it's yaitz or anything. So what do I care if the behemoth is a treifa? The milk should be mutter.
Okay, fair question. Halacha base. It's halacha base. So the Rambam said, so we're gonna need a pasuk to tell us that eggs are mutter. Okay? So how do we know that eggs are mutter? Okay, so there's two answers. I'm going to tell you the way the Ramban says it. The Ramban says it here in Chulun. Tosha says similar things, but there's other ways to say it. We're going to say the way the Ramban says it. First, as he says, the Gemara says, also a lot of Chulun today. The Gemara says in Kuf Mem in Chulun, the Gemara says that if you have a treif, a kosher animal, that's incubating the egg of a treif animal. Okay, it's sitting on the egg of a treif animal to hatch it. The Gemara says there's no mitzvah shiluach hakein on that bird, because the pasuk says tikach l'cha, that after you send away the mother, you'll take the what's left behind, either the chicks or the eggs, the evrachim beitzim, you take what's left behind. In a case when you're not going to be able to take what's left behind because it's from a treif animal, and the kosher bird is incubating a treif egg,
so that's not the Gemara, since it
would not be tikach l'cha, you won't be able to take it for yourself because you won't be able to eat it. Therefore, there's no mitzvah shiluach hakein. So the Ramban says, so you see, but what do you see from that? That tikach l'cha teaches us that the thing that's left behind is kosher. Well, it says in the pasuk Efraichim Abeitzim. It says in the pasuk that when you do shiluach hakein, it's for chicks or for eggs. That teaches us that eggs are mutter. Okay? I mean, it's not a limud directly limud, but it's an inference that the eggs must be kosher. Because if any time you do a shiluach hakein to take the eggs, is by inference that means is that the eggs must be kosher. Because you only do the mitzvah when what you take is going to be kosher. Okay? So it's a deal from that Gemara. The Gemara is not talking about the eggs from kosher animals. The Gemara is talking about eggs from treif animals. But you see from the limud that tikachla tells you that what's left behind has to be kosher. Tikachla should be for you. So that teaches that whatever left behind is going to be kosher. Elamai, it must be that birds, eggs from kosher birds are kosher. Okay? And then the other answer Ramban gives is really an indirect answer, which is, he says, well, if the pasuk tells us that a basayana, that the egg of a yana, an ostrich egg, is treif, then we can figure out by ourselves that it must be the egg from a kosher, from a chicken is kosher. Because if it said the egg of a ostrich is treif, that you only have to tell me that because eggs from chickens are really kosher, so, and that's why eggs from yanas have to be treif. Okay. Okay, so just before we leave, we will likely talk about all these makaris again in Halacha Gimel. Okay, it's going to come. I have thoughts that we'll get back to in Halacha Gimel. So just before we leave, I have to just tell you a few things that we're not going to talk about, and that is, there's a big question: what happens if you have a bird or an animal, okay, bird or animal, where the two parents have different statuses? Okay, for the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, what happens if you have a female Shara Niskel, so she's Asurbana, and she's bred with a male who's not a Shara Niskel? Okay, so what's the din of the child? It's a mix between something that's mutter and something that's Asur. Or, the Gemara says kosher and treif animals can't breed together and produce viable children, but there's a Shaila Machlokes where the birds can do that. So what would happen if you had a kosher bird and a treif bird bred together and they hatch something out of there? Would that be kosher treif? Okay, so it's a big Shaila Machlokes.
You don't get to the mother, or like, what do you do?
So it's a big Shaila Machlokes. When do we say Zev Zekarim? When do we say Yoytzim and Atame? When do we say Hashem Sarah? It's a big Shaila Machlokes, and Abin Ezer, quite a to-do about it. That's not for us. Okay? That's not our sin. Okay, it's another siman. Okay. Another thing is, when we did Tvinis, Chol of Yisrael, at the very beginning, we talked about whether the Yotzei min Ha'Asur has the same din as the Isser, or it has a lower level din than the Isser. Is the Isser on the same level?
Like an avatar?
Is milk from a treif animal the same as eating the treif animal itself? Okay, and it was negated over there, was we had talked about whether she got the roi for Bishishim, that's what we talked about over there. I'm going to remind you that at that time we said there's a prima donna who's medayik right from our din in Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch says the chalav of these treif animals is asurun kibisara. It's as usher as the basar is. Okay, so prima donna is medayik that the mechaber paskins that the isra of a yoytei is the same as the isra of the thing itself. It's not on a lower level. It's on the same level as the isra itself. And there's one more din, which is what happens. I had mentioned this in passing before. What happens if you have a kosher animal that gives birth to an animal, to a child that doesn't have simoni kashrus? Okay, it doesn't have split hooves. And or what about the other way around? What if you have a treif animal that gives birth to something that looks kosher? It has split hooves and it chooses cut. It looks kosher. Okay, so you got this funny situation where what's in front of you looks like one thing, but what it's yotzei from looks like a different thing. It came from something else. That's in simon ayin test. We're not going to tell you. Okay.